I'm glad you've not sat down yet. I think, because I think I've got some things to say this morning, but I felt this morning I want to speak not just to heads, well, yeah, maybe not even to heads and heart, but I want to speak to hearts, and I want to speak to the spiritual atmosphere, and I want to speak to what is going on in us. And I want to release. I want to release victory, not because I've got lots to give in one sense, but what we have is Jesus. And those that wait on the Lord renew their strength. I just want to, before I start to share the things that I want to share, I just want us to keep that place where, just because we stop singing, doesn't mean to say actually our hearts aren't looking to reach out and touch the presence of God. So Jesus, you are here by your Spirit. And you lead us to the Father. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray our Father. Because it is through Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But he is the way. No one, he says, comes to the Father but through me. So he is here by his Spirit, but he is not here by his Spirit just to impress us, just to make us feel as tingly. He is here by his Spirit to lead us into the love of the Father. So Father, we want to come into your presence. We want to come by that great privilege that the Spirit makes access, because it's the Spirit that was in Jesus. It is the Spirit of a glorified man. It is the Spirit that lived a human life in victory. It is the Spirit that was in Jesus. And through the Son, we come to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father but through me. You cannot know God as eternal Father if he's not eternally been Father to a Son who you've just met. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I want to say there is victory this morning, and there is breakthrough, and it comes from catching the attention of the King. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. And his face is turned towards us. And he says, what is your request? What's your petition? And in his presence we are changed. In the light of his face, we are changed. We are changed. Amen. It's something that in my head, I suppose I've known for years and years and years, but actually by practice, I'm learning more and more that it really is when we tune ourselves to the presence of Jesus, it is when we tune ourselves in to what the Spirit is saying, that we find we can be more than what we are naturally. You know, it's easy to know it in the head, but to know it by practice. And I think I've said before, because I always feel I've said everything I've got to say before. It doesn't, because there's nothing new under the sun. It's just that it's so big that we explore it in different ways. You forget what you've said and what you haven't said. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith comes by hearing. So if we're not hearing, we can't be having faith. We can be trying to be good, we can be trying to be moral, but we can't act in faith if we're not hearing. And so we need to tune ourselves. So I just want to wait for a few more minutes for the presence of the Lord to be, so we really know it, we really know it. I waited with intent for the Lord. He turned and he heard my cry. I waited with purpose, intentfully. I waited with intent for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. He lifted me. And this morning, I very specifically, he's going to lift some of us. He's going to lift some of us out of the miry clay. And he's going to put our feet on solid ground. And he's going to release a new song in us as we wait on the presence of the Lord. Thank you. says, I'm going to use some verses if you're on the Big E I used earlier in the week, but I just felt they were right this morning. It says in Genesis chapter 2, it says that man was formed out of the dust of the earth. You know, and the fact is that the chemicals that make up your body, you know, we say ashes to ashes, dust to dust, they go into the ground. The chemicals that make up your body are no different from the chemicals that make up a banana. It's the truth. You know. Sorry, if I'd said something other than the banana, it wouldn't have been so funny, would it? Yeah. Our chemistry is not what makes us unique. You know, we share it with creation. He took the dust of creation. He took the raw stuff. But then it says this most incredible thing. It says, and he breathed his spirit. He breathed his spirit. And it says, a man became a living soul. And Jesus came to do two things for our souls. He came to save them, and he came to redeem them. He came to save them and he came to redeem them. That thing that happened when the Spirit of God was breathed into the raw chemistry that in one sense we share with all sorts of other things. Something new happened and he became a living soul. And at that moment, the Spirit of God was poured out on all flesh. There was no flesh. There was no humanity that didn't know the Spirit of God indwelling it. And that's what we were made to be. Man was the touch point of the realms of heaven and the dirt of earth. Heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but earth I have given to man. And he's given it to us, though, because we are able to touch heaven, because his Spirit was breathed into us. This is our domain. This is our domain. It's been given to us to rule and reign over. Genesis chapter 1. They were given dominion. Male and female, he created them, and he spoke to them and blessed them. It says, be fruitful, multiply. We were made in our lives to be fruitful and to be multipliers. Part of the reason why this nation is in such an economic mess is that it's full of people who are consumers but never multiply anything back. We are made to be people who don't just consume fruit, but we multiply it. We're supposed to be people who make it bigger. Because if we're going to rule and have dominion, we need as people to be people who can produce, not just consume. But we can do that. Because the God whose mercies are new every morning, of whose there is no end to the increase of his government and peace. In other words, God is a God of increase. That's revelation. That says that in Scripture. It's not an idea. It says that there's something about him that's fresh and new every morning, like manna was. There's new manna. God is not static. God is always growing. You say, how can he grow? Well, it's, you know, surely he's always been infinite, but he does, he keeps growing, because there's always something new about him. He's not dead, he's alive. And so he says, you be fruitful, you multiply, you have dominion, but we cannot do that adequately if we are not connected to heaven, because it's in heaven that we see the patterns of what we need to release and shape on this earth. And so Jesus says, on this I'll build my church, he says, and he says the gates of hell won't prevail against it. But he says, what you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. You see, because his church can get access because his Spirit is in us. And I want to take time, because we must, where we fail, which the church does, and a righteous person fails 7 times and gets up, that's fine. It is because where it's where we lean on the flesh without the spirit, but actually the flesh was never ever meant to be without the spirit. The flesh can't adequately be the flesh without the spirit. The flesh is not intrinsically evil, your body, your history, your skills, but when it's not got the redeeming, saving presence of the spirit on it and in it, it can't be what it was made to be. It cannot live the life it was meant to have, which was to be the place where heaven joins earth. See, that is why we say Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus re-established for us what we were always meant to be. The Spirit comes on Mary. Mary has an earthly heritage. We probably read it in Luke's genealogy, chapter 3 of Luke. She has an earthly physical heritage, but the Spirit comes on her. And in her womb is born another Adam, a living soul. A living soul. And heaven and earth are joined in Jesus. They're joined in Jesus in this unique way, but it was always the way it was supposed to be. It's what we were supposed to be. And he lives his life, and unlike Adam, he doesn't break what he's been given. And Jesus says one day to his disciples, "The Spirit which you know, because it's with you, will be in you." But it wasn't in them when they did the miracles, it was on them, and there's a distinction. You know, because the Spirit in you is what makes you that living soul. It means that you can become again what man was supposed to be, which was the connecting point between heaven and earth. Someone who operates with the Spirit on them but not in them may see miraculous things happen, but they cannot be what they were made to be, because you were made to be someone in whom the Spirit of God was breathed, and you become a living soul, and you join the raw stuff of this earth to the plans and purposes of heaven. You are suddenly able to be what you were made to be, which is to be fruitful, because you are touched into an infinite growing God who is new every morning, so you can be fruitful. You are able again to be what you are meant to be in terms of having dominion, because you have something that is of a higher order and altitude and has a broader and more eternal perspective than you can have with the eyes of your flesh. You can look around and you can see the complications and you can see the problems. If you only have eyes of flesh, we have no solutions. But if we can lift ourselves above and we can see the resources of heaven and we can take from the perspective of God who looks over the bigger situation, we can say, okay, I see a route through. That is who we are made to be. And yet we can... What the enemy wants to do is he robs us of that by the reality, and it is a reality, of our flesh. See, if we were limited to the reality of our flesh, then who are we? We're here this morning, 30-something of us. Who are we? And we let the disappointments in, and we let the... Well, this isn't the way I imagined it, but you know, that's not who you are. And when we finish this morning, I'm going to go to a psalm and we're going to just let it seep into us. But in Revelation, this is where I was earlier in the week with the guys who are on the big year, you know, it says this, it says that, it talks about those who are overcomers, it talks about it several places, but in chapter 3 it says, "I'll make them pillars in my church." Okay. Chapter 3, "I'll make them pillars in my church." That means the overcomers in Revelation don't just get their reward in the next age, because in the next age there is no church. There is no temple. No, actually, I think it's pillars in the temple, but the temple sort of stands symbolically in that context for his church. There's no temple in the next life, because God dwells with man permanently. So what he's saying is those overcomers are actually doing it in this life, where a temple is needed. And you see, the temple was that place where the presence of God inhabited. It was, if you like, a representation of what was always supposed to be a man. That man was that access point. Jesus says that you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, he was the Son of Man, but you are sons, daughters of men. When Jesus called himself Son of Man, it was an interesting title, isn't it? Because Yeah, there's a prophecy in Daniel about, I saw someone who looked like a son of man, but really was behaving like he was God. That's kind of Daniel's prophecy. There's that character there, but it's not a big theme right the way through the Old Testament. And then Jesus comes along and keeps on saying, oh, I'm the Son of Man. It's his favourite name for himself. And I think what he's trying to do is saying, what I am, who I am living, I am not living because I am the Son of God. I am living this because I am what man was supposed to be. So he keeps saying, I'm just another, like you. I'm just the Son of Man. I'm just a son of man. I'm just born. I'm not Adam, but I am what Adam's children were supposed to be like. Son of Adam is what he literally said, because he spoke in Aramaic. So when he said son of man, he would have said son of Adam. I'm just what you should be like. I'm that person. So the angels of God are ascending and descending on who? The Son of Man. And there is a place of access that we have to heaven. And the tragedy is that the enemy robs us and puts fear into us so that we don't behave in the very way which we are able to, but which the world desperately needs us to. So I'm just, this is just a little thing, on Monday I have the fantastic opportunity of going to pray for a lady whose sister met someone in River Church, found out that we pray for people, and been asked if we can go around and pray for her arthritis. You know, in the flesh, what have we got to give? Absolutely nothing. But in the spirit, we are the people who can go to the resources of heaven and get hold of something that we don't have in the flesh. And so I'm looking forward to going around to see her. You know, in the flesh I will be a total failure, but what I've learned is I've got access up the ladder. I've got access up the ladder because, and it's not because there's something special. All that we are doing is we are reclaiming what God always made man to be. See, that's what Jesus won for us. You see, and so it says, those who are overcomers, I make the pillars in the church or in the temple which is a real place of his presence. In other words, we know all about in the apostles, because John wrote Revelation, obviously he was there. He knew all the conversations they used to have when they used to use the image of Jesus being the cornerstone, and we're all being built together like living stones into a fit habitation for the Lord and so on. And yet, here in Revelation, it's kind of, the pillars are really quite key. You know, they may not be the cornerstone, but they're better than just the odd bricks. They hold the roof up. They're kind of impressive. They're nicely carved. Those who are overcomers, what does that mean? Well, it means this. It means there is a victory that lives in you, whether you like it or not. Because when you receive Jesus, you receive the Spirit that he had, and he was victorious in every situation. There is a spirit that lives in you. It's the Holy Spirit. But that Holy Spirit is not just the Spirit of God with all of the access he had to all of the resources and perspectives of heaven. It is also the Spirit of Jesus, who lived a human life and as a human won a victory in every situation he encountered. Does that make sense? It's not just the Spirit of God, good as that is. It is the spirit of a man who has lived victoriously. You have access in that inner life, in that inner place, to a spirit that lives in victory. Now, what does that mean? So the overcomers are people who are obviously winning victories in the challenges of this life. I guess what it means is that they've let what he has done in them start to burst through and take priority. It's not just about whether you are super anointed and the Spirit has come on you. The fact is, if you receive Jesus, that victory lives in you. It is itching to win. It is itching to make a difference. Sometimes we need the Spirit on us too, to come and give us the extra oomph. But even if we don't feel that, we still have that Spirit in us that wants to overcome, that wants to win victory. You see, Adam fell, and in falling, he breaks something in his own spirit in terms of its ability to tune in to the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get locked into theological debates exactly how that works, but something gets broken. So his own children, the sons of Adam, the sons of men, the Cain and Abel, they can still know God, because they still do, but there's something in them that can't quite be what they should be. But there's this verse where there's this verse, you know, where God says to Cain, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is to master you. And that's the reality of what we got born into. We, like Cain and like Abel, got born into a world where man was supposed to have dominion, but he's handed over to the devil. And the devil now has access to our environment. He's out there. And his desire is to get into us. His desire is to shape you, mold you according to the way he wants it. And you see, that living soul that happened because the Spirit of God was there, that living soul which Jesus came to save, carries your story. And whether your story seems relatively good or relatively bad, the point is you carry in your soul the marks and the shapes of everything that happened to you. And yet that's what Jesus comes to get. That's what he's interested in. He's interested in your story. But he comes not just as a saviour, he comes as a redeemer. Because we are all born into an environment where sin is shaping us. And Jesus doesn't change that, but what he does is he redeems it. And he redeems it by bringing his victory that has been put into you and beating the circumstances that shaped you. Does that make sense? He beats the circumstances. And even if those circumstances seem good, you know, I'd born in a nice home, and I did well at school, and I went and got a good job, and all of those things. The point is, it's not what you were made to be. Somehow you've still got to break the limits of your flesh if you can live the life that God wants for you. Can you hear that? So, you know, maybe you were born to a rich family, you went to Eton, you were well educated, you went to Oxford, you got a good job, you go into politics, you become the president of, well, not president in the UK, you become the prime minister. Everything looks like it's been an easy life for you, but the point is you are living within the limits of the flesh, not in the freedom of the spirit. You still need to have a victory in that circumstance, because you have been shaped by an environment that has lost the ability to be fully what it was made to be. And so what God needs to do is he comes in, he says, okay, I'll take all of those things. We're not going to be defined by that. We're going to break it. We're going to live in victory, even over those good things. Can you hear that? You may have also had a rubbish life. You may have been born into poverty. You may have been abused. You may have been laughed at and ridiculed. You may have had a physical disability that limited you. You may have as high an intellectual capacity as those around you, and therefore don't do it. And all of those things, doesn't matter which way round it was, because we were never meant to live out of the experiences of the flesh. We were meant to live from heaven into the flesh, into this world. We were never made to live out of this world. We were made to live into it. And so it doesn't matter what your circumstances have been. The point is, we've all been shaped in our flesh in an environment where sin is there and wants to shape us. And so the victory that Jesus won, that has been put in you, is itching to win victories in you. And those that overcome become these pillars in that temple, which is the place of the manifest presence of God, where people can't stand because the presence is so there. You become carriers of the weight of heaven into the circumstances of life around you. And as I said, I don't want to speak to heads. I don't want to give an exact theology this morning. What I want to do is I want to speak to the spirit, speak to the heart. Because I know, I know that the Lord chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And we don't always understand that means. And I want to say that I know that there are disappointments we carry, because it's one of the enemy's chief weapons, is disappointment. Because in our flesh we have ideas as to what we think success might look like. And then the enemy comes and says, oh, your view of success doesn't match up to where you are. We don't actually sometimes realize that where we are is so much bigger than the view of success we had. It's just it looks different. There is a victory going on in you that can change the world. And that I find myself in these strange situations where in my flesh I think, oh, who am I? You know? And here's one of the weird things. Compared with 10 years ago, who I am today, at one level, if I looked at it 10 years ago, I'd be going, whoa, that's amazing. You know, in terms of, I see people healed most weeks. I hear from the Lord quite clearly for people sometimes, and those things. And 10 years or so ago, it was much rarer, you know. And yet the reality is, as I stand here, is that part of the growth into that, you start to become more and more aware of what's still not right in you. So there's this kind of irony where as you start to go on this road and discover what you start to really realize what you can be, it kind of almost, I don't think I would have been able to stand the revelation I have of what's not right in me that I have today 10 years ago, because I wouldn't have had, if you like, the hope that comes with actually seeing how he still goes on using you. Does that make sense? And I don't want this to sound, I don't want it to sound negative, but I suppose what I've learned is that the sword of victory that we're able to wield out here has a double edge, and the other edge is cutting into you. And it suddenly starts to reveal to you how when you express victory out there, when you stand up and say to the raging storm, peace be still, it's because there is a peace that you carry that means you can sleep in the boat. That there is that what we count as victory is what we see happens out there. What we don't realize is that the victory we express out there is the one that has happened in here, because the victory of Jesus that was breathed into you when you received him has started to take shape, has started to remodel the very things that you thought you were in the flesh. And he doesn't take away who you are in the flesh, he redeems it. He adds his new ingredient. It's like salt. Suddenly puts flavor, it changes the flavor of that unpleasant thing. It changes the meaning of even that old fleshly victory. He comes and he redeems those things by shaping them by the Spirit. So you are still who you are, but it's the limits of those places that we let the Spirit into us. You see, we let him in at the deepest level. Then we spend life taking him through the house that makes up our heart and opening doors to him. That makes sense. So he comes into the very heart of who we are, but then we need to open doors to him, let him in. That's what confession is about. Confession is opening doors to the Lord. It says, yeah, I want you to come and have a look in this room. Yeah, I want you to come and see what you can do with it. See, our problem is what we want to do is tidy the room up before we let him in. Okay, but that is allowing all of the history of our flesh to shape what we're going to do in that room before we show him. It's just no good. Confession is where we open the doors of who we are. And today was not all about confession. I don't know why I suppose we just keep going there, because I'm realizing more and more how there are places where I've got to say, no, that was my pride. No, that was my insecurity. No, that was my fear. You know, I can put on a good bravado, I can put on a good front, because I'm kind of masking my anxieties. But actually, the places I will let him into become the victory in me that you then express. And so you say, okay, to the blind person, see. And because there is victory in the blindness that was in us, Paul says, I'm not aware of anything in me, but I'm not acquitted by that. In other words, what he says is we all have a level of self-blindness in us. We can't quite see ourselves the way we should. That's fine. It means I'm not under obligation to go around going, woe is me, because I can't see the problem. But I'm being honest and saying I also recognize there's a bit of blindness in me. So I'm not acquitted by that. In the end, I have to put myself before the Lord. But then what he does is he reveals to us internally, and we win those victories by opening the doors. We have victories in ourselves. We become those that can express them to the world. And I just want to say that this is a remarkable church. I want to say this is a remarkable church. Whenever I come here, She's been a bit more recently. You know, it's easy to come in, and I want to speak, you know, I want to speak to all of us. It's easy to come in and look around in the flesh and say, you know, it would be great if we had more teenagers, you know. It would be great if we had, you know, a much more full midweek program, you know. There's all sorts of things we could look at and say, wouldn't it be great if we had that? But what I come in, every time I come here, is I know that there is a release of that stream that we were singing about. And you know, that river that we see in Revelation that flows from the throne of God, do you ever stop and wonder? Or not wonder, but do you remember it says, isn't it, that he's enthroned on the praises of his people? He is enthroned in my heart. See, that river comes from the throne. And that throne is something we allow into our lives, isn't it? That's, you know, by our worship, by allowing him to be on the throne in his heart, in our hearts. That, and which is why Jesus says there'll be a river that flows out of you. Because the throne of God is not some abstract concept, it's something that happens in us. So we let him win, we let him take his place. And out of us flows that stream. That stream that bears all kinds of fruit. Oh, wasn't that the promise to humanity that they would be fruitful? 12 kinds of fruit, it says, growing on that, by the side of that stream. And there's healing for the nations. What are nations? Nations are the ways in which fallen humanity has looked to express its dominion over the earth. This is my boundary, this is my place. This is not your place, this is my bit, this is my dominion, this is my domain. There is healing, i.e. there is those very things which we put in place because of the failure to stay connected to the resources of heaven, but to still try and express. You see, the thing is, you still try and express those things that were given to you. You still try and express, I still try and express them. We want to be fruitful and multiply. That's why people get in such bondage around sex. Because they know that there's something about fruitfulness and multiplication which you need sex for to fill up the earth. And so they they pursue it in their broken ways. Because they know there's something of that commission in them. We know there's something in us that should have dominion and should make the world work for us. And so we try it, and sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. But the point is, it's not being shaped by heaven. So it's never the best. Might be okay, might be good, but it's never the best because we haven't got heaven's perspective on it. But we try and do those things, and so here's this stream that flows from the throne and all kinds of fruit, it's fruitful. And the nations, those attempts to bring dominion, are healed by that stream that flows out. And it flows out of those that have allowed Jesus to be enthroned in their lives. It flows out of those who, that enthronement means we have given him space. The very thing he's sown into you, the very victory he's sown into, we let it win. The reason why it often doesn't win is because we don't want to acknowledge it, that it cuts two ways. As the sword cuts outwards, it has an edge that cuts in, that's going to challenge us. So let go of that. But Jesus is so gracious, and he says, come to me if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest, because my yoke is easy. The yoke he gives us, while it looks scary, while it feels like it should be painful when it happens, is so liberating when it does. And I don't want to just keep going into technical things, because I want to say this morning that I believe in this congregation. I believe in the victory of Jesus that lives in you. I absolutely believe in it. I don't want you to look around and think to yourselves, well, who are we? But at least we have a good time with the Lord. Okay, because you do have a good time with the Lord. I want you to say, yeah, I am a human being. I am a son of Adam. I'm a, you know, Paul makes the point. He said, we're all sons because we're all in Christ. So, you know, whether you're male or female. I am a man. I'm a human being. Human beings were made when the chemistry of this world had the Spirit of God breathed into it. They weren't human up to that point. Humanity is defined by the fact that heaven touches earth in you. That's who you are. You're incredible. You are incredible. The history that you have, which you might look at and say, that doesn't look very glorious. You know, looking around, who's the oldest person here? we won't be rude next year. But supposing you are 80, okay? That you have 80 years of that inglorious past, but you are connected to an eternity that goes on and on and on and on and on. You have such an infinity of future that those 80 years mean very little in terms of the reality of who you are in Jesus. Does that make sense? If you don't have Jesus, if you are not connected to an eternal future, obviously all you've got is your 80 years of failure or 80 years of the flesh. But you're not. You're connected to an eternal God who has given you an eternal future. And the truth of who you are is as much defined by that future as it is by the past. And seeing as that future is so infinitely bigger than your past, the sum of who you are is glorious. You are remarkable. And I just want to keep saying it out and seeding it this morning, that there is an authority in this room to be picked up and exercised. That doesn't mean that there's no challenge to us. You know, there is a kind of an easy theology that just kind of says, we're in it in Christ, which is absolutely true. You know, at any moment you could see the most incredible miracle, doesn't matter where you are. But that is not what you are living in. Okay? The spies went into the land of Canaan and came back with some incredible stuff, huge grapes and milk and honey and all those things. Okay? You can go in and plunder and come out, but you're not living in the promised land yet. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's true that doesn't matter where you're at, in one sense, with the Lord, you could see the most remarkable thing, but it's plunder, not your right. Does that make sense? Not what you're living in. It's not what you're cultivating. But he is calling us to allow it to grow in us. So that now when I eat the grapes, when I eat the fruitfulness, it's not because I snuck in as a spy and took them out. It's because this is my vineyard. This is the plot of this earth that I am taking dominion over, and it's becoming fruitful. So I'm speaking a lot in images and metaphors. I hope that's okay. Because in many ways it's not what it hits in the head, it's what we hit in the spirit. So I'm gonna start asking the spirit to come again. Just let's see where it goes, shall we? Let's say come again. People often worry about that and say, isn't he always with us? Don't we live and breathe and move and have our being in him? Yeah, it's true, but the God that is somewhere reveals his love to us by specifically being with us. So Holy Spirit, I want to bring a revelation, Lord Jesus, into this congregation of the fullness of who we are in Christ. But it's not just because we are in Christ. Yes, it is because we're in Christ, but Christ was human. That God came as man to show us what man should be. And so, Father, I want to bring a revelation of who we are, Lord Jesus. Not even just who we can be, but actually who we are. Who we are. We are the point where heaven touches earth. Because in the human soul, the flesh has been met by the Spirit of God. Father, I want to release authority in this house. Father, it's not by might, it's not by strength, but it is by your Spirit that we accomplish the purposes of heaven on this earth. You could do them in an instant, except that you've given this earth as our domain. And Father, I want to declare that in this life that you have given us, in this life that you've given us, you've put us in a garden. See, this is one of the great things I love about particularly the beginning of Genesis and Revelation, is that they speak on so many levels. And yes, they may be speaking about history, but they also speak to every one of us. And the Lord has put each one of you, I'm just prophesying this, he's put you in a garden, which is half cultivated, now it's your job to cultivate. He's put you in a garden, and it says in Genesis 2 that in that garden there were rivers, and there is a river that flows out of our lives if Jesus is enthroned on who we are. And it says within that river there was gold, and there were precious stones, and there was aromatic gum or pearls, depending on how you translate things. There are these raw materials. He has put you in a context with these raw materials. He has made you rich, but But that richness is buried and hidden, and it's your job to dig it out, because he's put you in the garden, said cultivate it. And in Revelation we see coming down out of heaven the city that has been built out of those raw materials. It's got gold in it, it has pearls, gates of pearl, and it has precious stones set around it. And the Lord is wanting to build that habitation city. He does it with you because he's put you in a garden, he's put you in a place, and the raw materials are there, and he's given you a commission. Come on, we're going to overcome this. We're going to find that precious stone. We're going to find those pearls. We're going to find that gold. We're going to build something together. And Father, we are not called to strive, but we are called to live out of the truth of who we are. And so, Father, I want to release, Lord Jesus, new levels of authority. Lord Jesus, I want to release heaven through this church, Lord Jesus. I want to say, Lord, this is what you made us for. It's not a nice add-on for part of the week. It's the reality of who we are when we go into work on a Monday morning. It's the reality of who we are when someone is going through a crisis next to us. It's the reality of who we are when someone rings up and says, can you do anything about my arthritis? It's the reality of who we are when the nations rage against each other, when economies become unstable, when earthquakes show that the earth is groaning. Lord, it's the reality of who we are, that we have access to more than the dust of this earth because you have breathed your spirit into us. And so, Jesus, I want to pray for a huge step up of authority in this congregation. Father, I want to say that it's on the banks of the stream. It's not in the stream, it's on the banks of the stream that you find healing for the nations and fruit. And so, Father, it's not even something we have to work really hard at, but I want to say that on the edges of who this congregation is, Lord Jesus, in the people that encounter us, Lord Jesus, just in the houses and homes around us, that you start to produce that fruit, that you start to bring that healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just want to speak to this congregation. Say, lift up your heads. Lift up your heads, O you gates, because the King of Glory is coming in. He is coming in. And I just want to finish by meditating through a psalm. And so I just want you to stay in that place where we're connecting with the Lord. Psalm 43 says this. It says, vindicate me, O my God. Okay. There is a you that needs vindicating. There is a you that needs vindicating. Plead my case against an ungodly nation. We have been shaped by the nation around us, but that is not who we are. There is a you inside that was born of the Spirit. There was a you that is an overcomer. If we read about the overcomers in Revelation, God has spoken a new name to them. There is a new you that he made you to be. There is a new you that he released in you when his spirit was put in you, when he commissioned you and gave you a new name. There is a new you that needs to be vindicated. And in yourself, sometimes you say, that's not who I am, that's not who I am, because you believe the lie that comes through the flesh. And you look at your history and say, I cannot be that person. But I want to say that is true. There is a you that needs vindicating against the unholy, the ungodly nation that has shaped you and given you the history you've had up to today. And oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. There is a deceitful and there is an unjust man that lives in you. It's part of the old life. It is part of the flesh. But Paul says we're putting off the old and we're putting on the new. The old man is being put to death. There is an ungodly and unjust man, but that is not who you were made to be. That is not who Jesus called you to be. It's not who he has put his spirit in you to be. He has put a victory spirit in you. And so that old and unjust is going to die. We're putting it off. We're going to release the newness of the you that is being vindicated against what shaped us in an unholy and an ungodly way. For you are the God of my strength. Oh, he says, the psalmist, why have you rejected me? It's a rhetorical question, because sometimes it feels like this. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And Father, we ask the question to you honestly, because we're allowed to. Why does it feel like that? Jesus himself, as a man on the cross, says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't a complaint. It's what it feels like sometimes in the flesh. And sometimes the flesh feels like this. Oh, he cries out. Here's the prayer. Send your light. Send your truth. Let them lead me, i.e. show them the way, the truth, the light, and the way. Oh, God, thank you that you have answered that in our hearts in Jesus. Thank you that you have answered this prayer. Oh, send your light and the truth. Let them show me the way. Yes, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the light, Lord Jesus. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the light. You have answered this prayer, and you have let your spirit live in us. Let them bring me to the holy hill. Do you know what? If the hill is holy, it takes a bit of sweat to climb. That's the truth. It's not a holy plain, it's a holy hill. It takes a bit of climbing. Let them bring me there to your dwelling place. There is a place, the living God. Then I'll go to the altar of God. To God, who is my exceeding joy, on his lyre I will praise you. Oh God, my God. So I'm saying to myself, so he goes on, why are you in despair, my soul? Why are you disturbed? Wait for God. You will again praise him. He is the help of my countenance and my God. Father, I want to release that prayer. Father, that you are the answer. You've given us the way, the truth, and the life. That, Father, why sometimes in our flesh we will feel cast down. We'll say to our souls, why are you cast down? Because we are not just the flesh. And you are releasing and vindicating the newness of life that has been put into us. It is you that is putting off that old and unjust man, the deceitful and unjust man. He is dying in us, and you're letting the newness of life, the overcomer that has been sown into us by the Spirit of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I think what I would like us to finish in doing is I would like us to stand for each other. I could kind of call things out in the front. I wasn't sure how we'd finish. I just want us to say, find somebody you feel safe with and say, here's something I want victory in. And I want us to stand for each other. And I want us to prophesy victory to each other in that. We won't make a show of it out front. We won't make any of that. Just find somebody you feel secure and safe with. And find something that you want victory in and tell them, because that's what Jesus has sown into us, to bring the purposes and the plans and resources of heaven to come crashing into the realities of this life and to bring victory through each other. So I want you to release victory. So can we do that? I'll stop talking. Let's find someone you feel safe with. Find someone you can feel okay to say, just say, look, here's an area I want victory in. And then stand for each other and say, I'm going to release and prophesy victory to you. Because we are going to be overcomers. We're going to become pillars in that temple that he is building throughout the earth. Of a place and a church that really carries the presence of God. Amen. Amen. So can we, yeah.